Speaking on this program is Foy Stiles.
I wonder. Why are we not more effective with our gospel meetings? I think that I've narrowed it down to 7 points, and I'm only going to cover one of them this morning. I believe it's the one that's the most important right now. Let's open up to John chapter 9. Let's just get over there and let's look at what the Word of God has to say a minute. John chapter 9, verse 4. The Lord Jesus is speaking there. Now, what had just happened here when he saw a blind man? There were some questions about it in verse 1. Lord, this man, he's been blind from birth. Now, what's gone wrong here? And then we move on across that a little bit. And then, time we get down to verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Now, let's back up there just a minute. Let's look at this. Probably, if you're in King James, it says, I must work. And of 20 or 30 translations, I believe we is in all of them. And let's look at that for just a minute. We must work. This is something that a child of God must do. We is the Greek word there. It's not just the Lord working for a little while and then ascending back up to the Father and nothing else to be done. No, He's here for a little while to help get the impetus going, to get us set in motion as to where it is that we are to go, and then He has to return to the Father to continue with His portion of the work from a heavenly position, where we that remain on earth continue with the work. So He says, we must work. Must. You may want to underscore that. It's important. Here is a verb of action that we've got to be doing something. We must work, brethren. We've been honored with the name of Christ. There is work for us. Now, what work are we going to do? He tells us. The works. Plural. There's more than one thing to be done. We as Christians have a work to do to carry on, even though the Lord has returned to heaven. We must carry on that work of Jehovah God that sent the Lord down here to get this thing in motion, and it's up to us to keep going. Now then, all of us must realize we must work at East End. Me, I've got to do more. I'm not doing enough. At times I get disappointed with myself that I'm not doing more. I hope you do too. But if East End is to remain a strong, viable congregation for God's Son, I believe it's important that we realize we must labor in His vineyard. We sing the song, I will work, I will pray, and I will labor how often? If it's handy, we might do something every day. And if it's not handy, we'll forget about it. Be another day. We need to think about it, friend. We sing a song, to the work, and rebel and don't go. See our attendance up there? From time to time, our bulletin says, year to date, we've had X number of baptisms. That's good. That's good. That's a point of encouragement. It shows from time to time that we've had X number of restorations. That's good. I admire that those numbers are available to us. But there's some things it doesn't tell us. We have several deaths every year. If we start out January 1 this year with 300 up there, and next January 1 we've got 300, and we've had 20 or 30 baptisms and restorations, what's wrong? We're status quo. Well, there are deaths. During this course of this year, I don't know how many will die. I don't know who it is that will die. But we'll lose some to death. Now, from time to time, we have job situations that change where people are transferred to other states or other cities. We lose some because of a transition to a job opportunity. The one that really worries me is number 3. And it's those brothers and sisters that allow their lives to slip back over into the hands of Satan. In our bulletin, if we had a column there that says we have lost 17 this year to Satan, we ought to be alarmed about that. I don't know if it's 2, 1, 6, 12, but we'll lose some to death, brethren. Can't help that. If we're good, faithful Christians, we can even joy over that. We'll lose some to moving away. Some other sister congregation will benefit from their presence. But the ones that are lost back to Satan ought to tear our hearts out. because that's not the way it's supposed to be, brethren. This third one will just rip us to pieces when we know that a brother or a sister is not faithful any longer to God. We have the parable of the 100 sheep. You've heard it. Have we learned it? The shepherd left the 99, and while he was gone from them, there's no telling what could have happened to the 99. But he put forth the effort to go and find that one that was lost, and it wasn't him saying, "Come on over here. Hey, little sheep, here we are. Come back." He went to it. Sometimes we have lost brothers and sisters. It's necessary for us to go to them. Go to them how? James says, be very careful. You may be the next one. You go there with a certain attitude, an attitude of love and caring and trying to bring that person back. And that person may not just be brought back one Sunday and restored and forgotten about. The ones that are stronger needs to help that person. If we would all join arm in arm, hand in hand, and all of us keep that journey toward heaven alive in our mind, heaven can become a reality for us. But we assume because someone's back and restored, well, we don't have to worry about them. They're okay now. Their life is straightened out. No, it may not be. The thing that caused them to begin with to fall by the wayside may still be present. Maybe it's a husband at home that doesn't want to help the wife. I knew of a woman that wanted to fix flowers and bring here one time and adorn the stadium with them. Probably ugly people like me get up here and look at the flower and not look at the speaker or something. But she wanted to do that, and her husband got mad. He says, "You're taking those to a boyfriend, aren't you?" And she is wanting to bring them to East End and put them on the stage. Now, we don't know what's going on at home in everybody's life. And not everybody is encouraged to come to church. Not everybody has any help at home. It may be that the dad there intentionally lets the car get low on gas, try to discourage the mom or something. There are things in people's lives that make their lives miserable, and unless we are close to that individual, we don't know it. And we assume, well, everything's okay, when really it is not, friend. The lost sheep, we've got to go look. We don't need to lose any to Satan. He's winning too many battles with us. It worries me. And friend, we just got to keep on keeping on. I believe then that we've got to feel and believe that the future of God's work at East End depends upon my total commitment to do what I set out to do when I responded to the high calling of God. About 47 years ago when I walked down the aisle and I said, "Yes, I believe Jesus to be the Christ, Son of God." I said, in fact, to heaven, "I understand what's going on, and I'm going to do my part." And a lot of the time, I don't. I'm no different than anybody else. I'll get fired up and get up a full head of steam for a while, and then somehow I'll get discouraged for a while. And I suppose we're all that way. We're human. We're this side of judgment, and we're going to have to deal with these things. But we have the assurance of God, "I'll never allow you to be burdened more than what you can bear." That is an insurance policy from heaven. We want a successful gospel meeting, friend. Rest, remember something. Abundant reaping demands abundant sowing. If we want to reap more souls, we've got to sow more. A farmer knows this. If he goes out and takes a little bushel of grain, goes out there and scatters around a little bit, and comes out there with a $75,000 combine and says, "Oh my, I can do that in about 2 or 3 minutes. I wish I'd sown a little more." We've got to sow more and more and more. It's important to us, and it's congregationally. The elders can only do so much. Brother Boyd can only do so much. Our deacons can only do so much. There's only so much that so many can do, but all of us can do more. And this is what should be important to us. Abundant sowing requires, or abundant reaping requires abundant sowing. I hope you remember that. Our mission then needs to be clear. It needs to be very clear. It needs to be impressed upon us that God wants a deep resolve on our part to do battle with the devil. We can do it on the radio, television, gospel meetings, door-to-door. We can do it at work. We see people that Jim Boyd will never see. And we can talk to them. And if we're living the way we ought to, doing the way we ought to, we may have an influence upon those people and be able to encourage them to come out here to where they can hear Brother Boyd. But now let's remember, as we bring them, if we can imagine East End as being a great big circle up here, And each family here is a little circle in that circle. And as we see other families with similarities, people that we can be in communication with, if we will draw closer to that family and say, for the next 6 months or the next 12 months, I'm going to try with diligence, with fervent prayer, to ask God to help me to be able to open the door of the gospel to this family. I'm going to take them and more or less adopt them, and I'm going to work with them, and I'm going to do everything I can to move them into this circle at East End. Introduce them to everybody I can, show them to class, do everything I can to make the transition from not going to church to going to East End a pleasant, enjoyable experience, that after they've done this for 5 or 6 or 8 months, they will feel that they know everybody here, they very much understand our programs of work, that they have been brought into this thing, and not just bring them in the door one time and drop them. We need to encourage them. Maybe after service, we've got to load them in a car, take them to a restaurant. Maybe this afternoon, say, hey, like to run by and pick you up. Why don't you go? Our class day is over at the rest home. Why don't you go with us today? Don't just get them and drag them through the door one time and leave them cold. Hold on and hold on and hold on. We can get them here and get them exposed to the gospel, get them exposed to our brothers and sisters. We've got to remember, brethren, when people come here, we've got to be friendly. We've got to be friendly. Our mission must be clear, our resolve very deep. Otherwise, will we ever accomplish any great task? I'm reminded of over in Judges 5, Deborah. Here she was, a prophetess, a judge, and she felt in her heart that there was something God wanted done. Here's the old king up here of Canaan, old Jabin up there, and she felt very strongly that God's wish was for her to go up there and to defeat him, because he represented the enemy. And she was able to muster up enough enthusiasm among the Israelites that they went up and had a great victory. And it talks about over in about Judges 5:15, along in there, about along the divisions of Reuben there, that there was a deep response. There was a deep feeling there among the people of the need to do what Deborah said. And that was very much done. Friends, let me remind you something. We lose people generally one at a time. Generally, people come down this aisle one at a time. That one little old sheep went off, got lost, and was able to be brought back. Timing is important. Don't wait 5 or 10 years and say, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so there for the last 10 years. We might ought to go check on him. It's a little bit late. Studies within the brotherhood show that the call that's made the same week somebody misses will probably have them back the next Sunday. A call that's made 4 weeks later gives you about 50% chance of getting them back. And a call that's made 3 or more months, you have less than 5% of getting that brother back to church. So we need to be aware of that. I want to watch numbers this morning. I want to be careful about it because I don't want us to get paralysis of analysis here. And that can happen so often. I heard this week when you cross a computer and a skunk, what you get, and I want to be careful. It says you get a stinking know-it-all. I want to avoid numbers up here and don't become a stinking know-it-all. But if our mission is not clear and we don't have that personal commitment, brethren, at East End, our meetings will still respond with maybe 2 or 3 souls coming down the aisle. Maybe during the course of the year, 10, 12, 15 coming down the aisle to God, and death taking them away from us, departures for jobs taking them away from us, and the devil out there just grabbing them by the armload saying, oh, I'm having a heyday here because they're not watching me. We've got to watch them. One-on-one, we lose them one at a time. We gain them one at a time. Our mission must be clear. I think that our success at East End in the past has depended upon our trust in God. I think it has depended upon hard work, patience, continual Bible study, and I believe much, much deep, effectual prayer. Remember one old song leader we had for old fella didn't have legs? Set up on the front pew and the old building came in a little old cart and had leather straps on him. He'd come up the steps down there and pick himself up probably 20, 25 steps on the old building. Had this little old dolly he'd made. He'd set himself up on there. He'd come scooting down that aisle and get up on front, sit on front seat. And don't think he couldn't lead singing, brother. You heard him all over the building. Sister Irene knows who I'm talking about. Sister May does. And he did a good job. All kinds of handicap. He could come up there and look at those steps and say, boy, I can't go to church there. Mm-mm. And here he came right up those steps just to bouncing along there just to get it. Might be raining or snowing. Get out of the way. He'd come up steps. And when he led to singing, you heard him. He knew the song. He could just bellow out. He didn't have to get up. He just bellowed out. And the brethren sang with him. Do you remember when we used to knock on a lot of doors more than we do now? Remember when we used to have areas assigned to different brethren? Anything happens in this area, be there. House burn, be there. There's a need, be there. Don't waste time getting on the phone trying to call us. Be there. Go see what you can do. We are a hospital, friend. Go back and study the Greek word, hospitality. East End Church of Christ is to be East End Hospital. What the needs of the sinners are, go help them. Needs of a brother or sister are, go help them. Trust in God, hard work, patience, continual Bible study, deep effectual prayer. That will work every time. It'll work, and it'll work great. Think about the American Railroad for a minute. I remember as a younger person, much younger person, back during the Second World War, trains were the heartbeat of America. Trains just running everywhere. Every town you went through, watch the crossing, the bars come down, you sit there and wait a while, and here go 150 cars by. Go down the road 20, 30 miles, stop again, here comes another train. And today you rarely see a train. The United States government spent about $17 million doing a survey on our trains to see what went wrong. $17 million to find out what went wrong. And after they met with as many of the people that have been involved, the CEOs and everyone have been involved with the railroad industry, the letter that went back to our Congress said, here's what our findings are. The people in the railroad business thought they were in the railroad business. They failed to understand they were in the transportation business. Friends, we're here to get the gospel to everybody we can. The gospel meeting is a great help. The radio program, a help. The bulletin, a help. Preaching all the time, a help. Bible study, a help. But we've got to be involved with it. And the most good that we can contribute to any success here at East End is a personal commitment. We have to be involved with it. We have to have a clear picture of our mission, our dedication, our involvement. I believe it for us to become a more productive church, we've got to realize we lose them one at a time, we can gain them one at a time. The early church, what did they do? What was at the heart of the early church? It wasn't a big fancy building. No. A lot of things you couldn't say about the early church. I don't know if they had songbooks or not. I'm sure they didn't have central heat and air conditioning. I'm sure at times when they met in the caves and the catacombs that they were cold and miserable. But what was at the heart of the early church was, we'll go door to door. We'll go because the Lord said, go into all the world. Today we're prone to say, you want it? Come to us. You want to know about Jesus? You better come over to East End and we'll let Brother Jim tell you about Him. We need to study. Jesus says, I must work, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. A night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And friends, He's left that light up to us now. And we need to be that light. Individually, collectively, we've got to keep going. Let's don't let the Lord down on that. Our work here at East End is the noblest. I believe it's the highest. I believe it's the grandest. I believe it's the sweetest work that humans can be engaged in. And we ought to want to do it. We should want to enjoy doing what I can for the Lord because He has forgiven me for so much. I owe it to Him. And I can't begin to do enough for Him. All I can do is say, thank you, dear God, and swing some doors open because I'm ready to go busting through them. And I believe at East End, if we'll do that, before we have another meeting, we'll get serious with our prayer. Have a mission, have a goal, have a clear understanding. What's the speaker going to be speaking on? Who are the friends that we need to hear, have here on the particular night that he's going to be speaking on what? We should say, here are the areas we're weak, and you take at least two of your sermon and hit these areas that we need. He's our employee while he's here. I wouldn't want to hire someone to come out to my place tomorrow and say, I'm going to pay you 40 hours a week. I don't know what you're going to do. Go out there and see what you can find. Now, if I hire him, I'm going to have a list of things for him to do. We bring the preacher in here, we would do well to say, we've got X number of souls we want you to go with us to visit. We want to do this. We want to accomplish that. We need to have a broad picture of what our mission for the meeting is, and every family here know that we're going to help bring people here to hear him. This is our job. If we occupy a pew, we owe it to our elders, we owe it to our preacher, and more so, we owe it to Jehovah God to have as many people here to hear him as what we can. Brothers and sisters, another congregation wants to come, great. But I believe that Christ began a great task of bringing hope to mankind when he came to earth. They had hints of it all the way through the Old Testament, and Christ is the culmination of it when he came. They got to see. Some of them even feel the Lord. And some of them got to see what it was that they've been hearing about and thinking about all these many years. But I believe now it's our opportunity and it's our mission to keep that blessed hope of salvation before all of mankind. And in the day of judgment, we look over there and see someone there, a brother or sister, and maybe they only lived a block from us. And they quit coming to church and we never even went by and says, hey, we love you over there and we need you. Can we help you? We want you back. We need you over there. We need you, and you need us too. We need to think about that, brethren. Our mission is clear, and it's to glorify Jehovah God and His Son Jesus, to uphold the kingdom of God, to bring the hope of salvation to lost mankind. It's Matthew 28 to preach, convert, and continue with the teaching program. And I think when we understand the importance of teaching, that we ought to have more here on Wednesday night. We ought to have here every time the doors open. Everyone ought to be here. Remember, Acts is a book, what I call the showcase of the New Testament. You walk by this showcase, you look down there, and you see just about everything you need in the church to pick up the momentum and get to going. And as I think of it, in there I see apostles preaching. I see the deacons in the early church preaching. I see the members of the early church out meeting, preaching and talking to people. Well, I see people like Priscilla and Aquila, and they're out to one side talking to someone. I see here a great dedication. And then I read in there about from house to house what they're doing. Friends, if we'll follow that holy apostolic example that we had in the book of Acts in the showcase, we can see what we can do at East End to be more effective. Are we effective? Somewhat. Are we doing some good? Yes, we are. I think we're doing a lot of things right here at East End. And I think we can continue to do more things right and thereby gain more souls for the precious harvest of God. It concerns me. When we walk into judgment, that's awfully late to find out we didn't do what we should. It's too late. We walk into judgment, and the Lord says, why weren't you giving more? Why weren't you reading more? Why weren't you praying more? Why didn't you care enough about the lost souls around you to bring them? And what are we going to say? What can we say? We've had so many opportunities. We can get behind this work. And 45, 50, 75 years now, East End can be a growing, thriving, strong congregation. One story and the lesson's yours. Many of you in school read about George Washington Carver, the great black scientist. He had a project and had no money. He believed in his project with all of his heart. And he started studying, how am I going to raise the funds necessary to carry on this project of work? He thought, who can I contact that has the funds whereby, if they see fit, they can underwrite this program of research and all, that I can go full steam ahead? The man that he came up with was Andrew Carnegie. He called Carnegie up and said, I'd like to make an appointment. I want to talk to you about something that's real important. Carnegie set him up a day and a time to be there, and Carver went in there into his elaborate office and sat down and felt very much out of place because all around him riches were shown. It was obvious with some of the artwork on the wall and everything. He knew that he was dealing with a man that was of considerable wealth. After making his presentation, he got a check, Andrew Carnegie, $500. As Carnegie reached the check over to him, he said, Mr. Carnegie, let me ask you one thing. Carnegie said, what is that, Mr. Carver? He says, when can I have another appointment with you? He said, well, you've got an appointment right now. He said, I know, but I failed. He said, I know, but I need a second appointment right now. Because, sir, I have not impressed you with the importance of what I'm about to do." Mr. Carnegie sat there for a minute, tore up the check, got the checkbook out, sat down there and wrote him a check for $500,000. And said, "I believe that you are really convicted on what you're wanting to do, and so am I." We need to be convicted, friends, of what we're going to do. Many in the local congregations have not been impressed by the greatness of the task that Jehovah God has assigned to us. Many in local congregations do not understand the urgency of this task. And the Bible says, buy up the time. Time is getting away. Opportunity is going by us. There may be someone this week that we cannot talk to that we could have talked to last week for numerous reasons that we can never go back and correct. But we can make sure that here for we do what we can and correct the situation. So I ask you this morning then, no one here can do it all, but all of us can do it, what God wants of us. No one here can carry the load that East End has to be carried. Our elders can't carry it. Our elders and Jim can't carry it. Our elders and Jim and the deacons can't carry it. But you know what? All of us can. And we should. And we should do it with joy. Are you a child of God? Are you willing to put your hand to the plow? Over there in John 9, when the Lord said we must work the work of Him who sent me, are you willing to do your part? You should be. You should do it with joy. You should do it with thanksgiving. You should delight that we even have the opportunity. Friends, I need to do more. And most of you need to do more. And we need to have a starting point. It's a point of dedication, a point of saying, "Lord, I've sinned. I've not done what I should. I'm going to start over and want to do better." I'm wondering this morning if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, as we stand and sing, will you come?